¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 9:04, just less than an hour left in the show. And we want you to get into the Christmas spirit with us. 12 Days of Giving, sponsored by Veritex Community Bank. This is the first day we are going to give back to the Star of Hope. And here's the deal. Star of Hope is wonderful. It helps the homeless. It's a Christ-centered community dedicated to meeting the needs of the homeless, women, children. And it is really, I've been there, and it is just a wonderful facility, and they do great, great work. And if you're somebody that would like to give this holiday season, make it about others, not just you, not just your gift needs. Make it about doing something that could make a difference. And so we were asking you to go to ESPN975.com/12days to give what you can. David Gao, our CEO of Gao Media, has generously agreed to match donations to each charity up to $500. So let's do this. Let's get at least $500 so they can get $1,000. We're going to do this every day, and we want you to be a part of it. ESPN975.com/12days to make your donation to the Star of Hope. So that's good stuff. That is really good stuff. You are going to be a better person for it, okay? And if you help us out all 12 days, you're probably going right to heaven, straight to heaven. It's not a guarantee. I know that's works-based, and we don't believe in that, but it certainly is going to help. It's going to help when you're up there, standing in front of St. Peter. Okay.
I was told you actually get to cut the line to get into heaven if you donate.
You cut the line.
So, you know, a lot of people, you got to wait on line to get in, and then you got to go through the vetting process if they approve you to go to heaven. If you donate, ESPN975.com/12days, you actually get to cut the line when you get there.
See, I just worry about it. If we're in our cars on our way up there, then I'm fine with it. Do you really want to cut in front of people that you have to, like, you never do that at the grocery store, do you? Like, cut in front. Like, as opposed to when you're trying to get off on 45, you'll go right to the front and cut in front of everybody.
You do whatever it takes to get in.
That's right, because you've got all that car around you. But do you do that at the grocery store? No. I do it all the time on the roadways, which is a bad thing, but I don't care. See? But it is funny. We would never do that, you know, waiting for tickets at a line. Oh, excuse me. I'm just going to move right here in front of you all in the front of the line, right?
Well, have you not mastered in your years living on this planet the chat and cut?
Well,
you need a friend to perfect
even
it.
Even still.
But the chat and cut is phenomenal.
If your friend is up there and you still walk up there, it's still a little, you never know. Hey, I don't give a rat's ass. That's your friend. Get back there. You know what I'm saying?
But then they'll look at you and be like, well, you know what? We're all waiting on this line to get into heaven. But this guy donated to, you know, 12 Days of Giving.
12 Days of Giving. I can't say anything. Did you donate to 12 Days of Giving? No. So shut up while you're waiting in line for heaven. So I don't know that I'm going to go to heaven I'm not going to radio heaven. I know that because I say some ugly things every once in a while. The other day, last week, December 1st, we were at Wildcat Golf Club, and you guys were doing your show, and I had a couple of Coors Lights in me, and you guys had asked me a question about something, and I didn't know, but all I wanted to make sure was that your partner, BK, Brian Kellner, missed that show.
You call him Brian?
Is it Brad? Excuse me. Well, I like to call him Brian. Brad Kellner missed that show, and I thought that was inappropriate behavior by him. What was his problem?
He said he wasn't feeling well. He was under the weather.
Is that why we miss shows? Is it because we're under the weather now?
Look, you either hurt or you're injured, and he wasn't there, so I guess he was injured.
Well, you know, the best ability is availability.
I agree.
And if BK can't be available, then I don't know that we can have him around much longer.
Now, you bring up an interesting point. Look, this was a big day for the station. We had over 100 people playing golf, supporting charity, trying to earn their spot on the line into heaven, and Brad Kellner wasn't there.
Brad Kellner was no-show. and just thought it was, I guess he thought it was okay to just miss the show. So I came in. Well, you guys talked about it on your show the next day. Here it is.
While you were gone, we obviously did the show yesterday from Wildcat Golf Club, and we had John Granato on the show. And yeah. Rather than, you know, having you hear about it indirectly or us try and paraphrase, I want you to take a listen to John Granato on our show calling you out for missing yesterday's Wheelhouse broadcast.
BK's a puss. Just BK. Now, I want you guys to play this for him when he gets back.
3 o'clock tomorrow?
Well, is he going to be back tomorrow, or is
Well, unless he has, I don't know, some sort of bacterial disease from the mustache.
Who knows if he needs some Midol or whatever it is that he's got to have, a woman's gentle laxative. BK, you're a puss. That's all.
Mm. John Granato called you a puss. Your response, Brad Kellner.
Well, I heard this in real time yesterday, and no surprise at all that John knows what that medicine is. You know, on my way to work today, gentlemen, I made a quick pit stop over at the Mayor's Barbecue, and I saw John's car. Assume it was the Chastain Ford, and there was a little crack in the window, and I decided to dispose of all of my Kleenex from the last couple of days in his car. I also coughed all over every single door handle of his vehicle as well. So if Sloop John G comes down with something, then I think we might know where it came from, boys. And by the way, do we know what the official beer for that is?
Coors Light.
Is there an official beer of that activity?
Coors Light.
Coughing on somebody else's car. Come on, John G. I'm coming after you, old man John G.
Ooh, dropped an old man on him. That might be the thing that gets him the most mad of all the things you've said.
Honestly, I think it probably will. I think it probably will. But yeah, I heard that. And once again, if John comes down with a mysterious illness, then, well, it won't be too mysterious.
Patient zero.
Yeah.
Well, Patient zero.
Absolutely.
We cut it there. So first of all, he don't want none of this. Okay. You can relay this to him. And secondly, yes, Coors Light is the official beer. Of doing anything that you do. Coors Light is the official beer.
Yeah. Do you remember saying those comments on our show?
What? That he's a puss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't so blotto that I don't remember things.
I'm just making sure. I mean, it took till the following Monday for you to play it.
When you drink as many Coors, well, no one had been here from your show. That's why. When you drink as many Coors Lights as I do, you just become, I mean, that's just regular everyday life. It's not like, oh my God, I can't remember what I did. No, I remember everything I do. Even when I had a few, 8 or 12 or whatever. And we had a few that day. That was a fun day. There's no question about that. Anyway, BK, you don't want none of this, old man, okay? Just so you know, BK. Let's talk a little bit about what happened yesterday in the NFL and what we found out. Do you want to do it? Okay, we got to do it on the other side. Okay, because we are up against it here. We'll do it on the other side. I want to talk about, get some thoughts about what we saw yesterday in the NFL, and it's totally different than what we saw the week before. It is an amazing league in that if you play well one week, you look like crap for the most part the following. It is just amazing how that works out.
Unless you're the Texans, then you usually just play like crap basically every game.
I don't even want to talk. We're going to talk about the NFL, not the Texans.
Okay.
We're going to do that on the other side.
Understood.
Right now, I want to talk about Pete's Fine Meats, and I was just thinking about their hamburgers this morning, as a matter of fact, and I am going to stop by there and pick up the Tri-Blend burgers that they've got. If you have never tried these, if you are somebody that likes to make burgers on your grill, it is absolutely the best burger I've ever had. He's also got the Wagyu burgers that are already done in the refrigerator there that he could say already got them vacuum packed for you. You just pick them up and go. It's hard for me to decide which one I like more. I think I'm a Tri-Blend guy, but whatever. Whatever the case may be, get those burgers because they're second to none. But his steaks, they're prime. He's got Wagyu. He's got Kobe. He's got every – it doesn't matter. But he's got the highest quality meat that you could possibly have. But he's got so much more. He makes his own bacon. You could get your bacon and eggs there that are just – the bacon is phenomenal. I love a good pork chop. They'll cut it as thick as you want it. this holiday season, no matter what it is that you're going to do for the family, you want to get a giant brisket, you want to get a giant tenderloin, whatever it is that you want to do for the family, make sure you get it from Michael over at Pete's Fine Meats, because it's second to none. Best butcher in this city. It's not even arguable. It's Pete's Fine Meats at Richmond and Chimney Rock.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, so NFL action yesterday. We had some interesting developments, one of which was the Lions actually winning a football game. Now, this is good for our Houston Texans.
Very good.
This is excellent. Excellent.
First pick, still a possibility, John.
Still a possibility. You know, it'll be interesting to see the direction that the Lions go, because Aiden Hutchinson is working himself into the number one overall pick. It was thought to be Thibodeau all of this time, and there doesn't appear to be a number one overall quarterback. It doesn't appear that way anyway. So it looks like the Texans just actually may get the quarterback that they would desire, or the number one overall quarterback, even if they don't have the first pick. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. But the Lions finally won a football game on the last play of the game, and you would think they won the Super Bowl when you hear this call.
4 seconds to go. They can win it with a touchdown. First victory of the year on the line. Goff's got it. Back, looks, throws, and
yes!
Caught! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! They did it! Amon-Ra St. Brown on the receiving end! Oh, they're rushing the field! They've done it! 3 zeros on the clock! This game is over! It's over! Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown! His first career touchdown! And how big is that? Oh, my goodness! Have a day, boys. Have a day.
Hang a banner. They won a football game.
They won a football game. You know what, though? I mean, it took a 65-yarder to beat them and the last play of the game or whatever it was. Was it 65? What was Tucker's?
Yeah, Justin Tucker. Yeah. I think it was 65 yards.
I think it was 65.
It was in that range.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's taken them. Yeah, it was just – it's just so un – They should have won. They should have two or three wins right now. They should have two or three or maybe four wins right now, as well as they have played. I think they're a much better football team than the Texans. I mean, I don't even think it's arguable.
They've been way more competitive
than
the Texans. Like, the Texans lose, they get blown out. Like, the Lions played a 3-point game against the Browns. They tied the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were in a game for a while against the Vikings. They obviously had the brutal loss.
Beat the Vikings.
Yeah, their first time, they only lost by two.
Right.
So they've been more competitive than the Texans. It's a damn shame we don't have a Texans-Lions matchup on the schedule.
I know. I don't want to play the Lions. They kick the Texans' ass.
They'd be good. They'd get a win, and it would help the Texans get the first pick in the draft.
Now, there's the other side of the coin. Here's Minnesota. Here's Minnesota's call on the last play of the game.
Here it is with 4 seconds to go in the game. 27-23 Vikings. Jared Goff, three receivers left, one right. He goes out of the shotgun. He takes the snap from Mevin Brown. He's going to fire to the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. And these cardiac kiddies have beaten the Minnesota Vikings and won a game for the first time in 364 days. The game-winning touchdown was caught by Amon-Ra St. Brown, and for that young man, his first National Football League touchdown is a memorable one. It beat the Minnesota Vikings 29-27.
His first touchdown, that's cool. That's pretty cool that his first one won a game. And won a game that, you know, I mean, that they hadn't won 364 days. That they hadn't won a football game. That's wild. That's awful.
Can we not talk about the fact that he called them the cardiac kiddies?
No. Cardiac kiddies. They are, though. But that's a little disrespectful. No, just a little bit. No, you're a little disrespectful yourself.
Mike Zimmer's got to get fired after the season, right? I don't know if he's a terrible coach, but he's been hanging on there forever, and this team is going to lose to the Lions. I mean, the Vikings play the same type of game, it feels like, every week. It's a one-score game late,
yeah,
and they usually find a way to lose. That's why this team, despite their talents, 5-7.
Yeah. Mike Zimmer is living his best life, much like Jared Goff is. Watching Jared Goff's girlfriend, model, actress girlfriend, watch the highlights of Jared Goff winning the football game is a pretty good watch, people. Kristen Harper, if you can find that, Kristen Harper watching Jared Goff win that football game. But Mike Zimmer's living his best life, too. He has a model girlfriend as well.
Is it fair to say maybe that's why he's a little distracted?
Maybe. And I don't. You know what? If I'm him, I don't give a rat's ass. What you think about it?
He's getting his money either way.
Yeah. He's going to get paid. And dude has a lot of eyesight problems, right? He's had operations on his eyes. He's
correct.
You know what? He deserves a little something in his life that he could feel good about. And I think he feels good about his Instagram model. I'm pretty sure he feels really good about her. Other games of note, Washington beat the... Did Derek Carr, I mean, how in the world do you turn in that kind of performance? The Raiders are the most, I think, I don't know. I have no idea from week to week what the Raiders are, if you want to know the truth. And for Washington to go in there, and now there's Washington is 6-6. It's not a bad football team. Actually, I thought Washington was going to win this division. And if they could have played a little bit better in a couple of games, they'd be right there with the Cowboys right now.
They won 4 straight. I don't know how good Taylor Heinicke is, but it seems like he could manage a game. And I have a pretty good defense. They could run the ball. And, like, who's really good in football this year? Like, yeah, you got some teams that are near at the top, but it seems every other week we anoint the new team, then they lose. Like, we were talking about that earlier. So Washington right now, with Heinicke managing their game, they could run the ball. They've won 4 in a row. They play in a terrible division. There's no reason why they can't hang around. I mean, go look at the bottom of the NFC playoff spots right now. You're talking about Washington and Philadelphia and still technically Minnesota. These are teams that are Carolina. These are the teams that are duking it out for that seventh and final wild card spot.
Yeah, which I think probably tells you we have too many playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you got teams like this. What about that Chargers-Bengals game? I thought Dan Orlovsky made a good point. He said Joe Burrow outplayed Herbert. Joe Burrow put a beautiful ball right in Jamar Chase's arms, and he basically just threw it to the defender for an interception. And then Joe Mixon fumbles as they're driving, picked up in a touchdown. That's 28-point difference right there. Instead of Jamar Chase walking into the end zone on a perfectly thrown ball, and then the Chargers go take it back the other way, and Joe Mixon, as they're going in, well, I don't know, they were about on a 30-yard line, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood, but you're talking about possibly a 28-point swing on those two plays, and the Bengals should have won that football game.
It felt like the Chargers were going to charger this game, right? They're up at one point, 24-0. All of a sudden, the Bengals go on a run. Joe Burrow playing with like a broken pinky is slinging the rock, and they get within 2 points after that Mixon touchdown run, 24-22. And then, to the surprise of, I think, a lot of people, the Chargers went out there and finished the game on a run where they scored, you know, two straight touchdowns. They had the big fumble return on defense, and then, you know, they end up winning the game. The final score is a blowout. But this was a close game, back-and-forth game for a while, and the Chargers did not charger it up. They actually found a way to win a close one and end up going away, you know, handily.
And then there's, you know what? Kansas City's won again. Kansas City's now 8-4. After they were 3-4, I believe.
Three and five
straight.
Yep.
Yeah. I won 5 straight.
My biggest regret, John, didn't place a futures bet on the Chiefs.
No, I know, when they were 3-4.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Exactly. We talked about that last week on the show, why we didn't do that. That was dumb. But they don't look like the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes threw for 178 yards, no touchdowns and an interception. They ran for 89 yards. That is 269 total yards. They were killed. The Broncos had over 400 yards. I mean, they got killed, and they just came up with that. Now, they played better defensively, which they hadn't been doing early on. So you got to give them a little bit of credit there. But that's not the same. This is not the Chiefs team. We'll find out tonight with between these two teams. I have a feeling that New England is the best team in the AFC,
which disgusts me to no end. But yeah, I mean, if they win tonight, I think there's your argument. They go into Buffalo with a rookie quarterback and they win this game on Monday Night Football. I think New England is then, you know, the best team in the AFC. But I just feel like every week, you know, there's a new team, there's a new flavor of the month, and then that team loses, right? I mean, like, everyone was picking the Bills to go to the Super Bowl at one point earlier this year. They scuffled along, but they got a chance to really, you know, restore order, so to speak, in the AFC East if they hand New England a loss.
Yeah, and they were talking about it this morning on the show before ours, and I thought Key made, and I don't often say this, I thought Keyshawn made a pretty good point in that he said, well, when Mac Jones has to put this team on his back, well, Mac Jones isn't going to have to. You know, Tom Brady didn't have to back in 2001. They had a ball control, run the ball, play great defense, and that's exactly what they're doing. And, you know, maybe Mac Jones isn't going to have to just take them down the field because, well, I thought they had so much desperation this offseason with all the big names and how much money they spent. But let's not forget that last year, while, you know, they're watching Tom Brady win, and I was of the opinion, I've always been of the opinion that it's Tom Brady and not Bill Belichick, but, man, you got to give it up for what he's doing right now and the position. This looks a lot like their 2001 team the first time Brady won it.
It certainly does. And the other thing, too, though, there's like a misconception on what the Patriots were this past season. They weren't good. They were 7-9. But they went 7-9 with Cam Newton playing quarterback for them, and we see what he's been. He's washed at this point. And they went 7-9 despite they led the NFL in COVID opt-outs a year ago. Like, half their defense, or a lot of their key players, they didn't play. So they go out there in the offseason, they spend a ton of money. And then, you know, they obviously put Mac Jones in a situation where he's got a great OC, he's got a great coach, they got a great defense, great O-line, great running game. So, you know, he doesn't have to do all that much. He's playing well, but I feel like if you put any of these other rookies in a similar circumstance, they would have success too. Like Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, they're on bad football teams. They don't have the advantage that Mac Jones has playing in the infrastructure that New England has for him.
No, absolutely. All right, taking a break. Dell's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk about this college football stuff with Del Olale next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now I'm talking about Coors Light, and you brought up the Coors Light, the situation that we had on Wednesday. Well, you didn't see the situation that I had on Friday. You didn't have to see the situation that we had on Saturday. You didn't see the situation that we had yesterday watching all of those games. And by situation, I mean how many Coors Lights I drank. And you know what? And what? What? Do you want me to not drink Coors Lights? No. Does it matter? Am I going to call BK out on when I have a few Coors Lights in me? Yes. Well, would I have called him out anyway? Yes. But it's better when I do it with Coors Lights because it's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Do you know how refreshed I was that day with all those Coors Lights? Do you know how refreshed I was all weekend long going up to Dallas to watch the game, hanging out at Lou Links yesterday, watching games? I mean, it's just what we do. It's the official beer of everything. So if you're looking for what I think is the world's greatest beer, and a lot of people do, I mean, most everybody does, it's cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 9:31, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Del Olale joining us right now. He is Respect My Decision podcast host, and also he's one of the Freds. So he is, you want to talk about, he's got a nationally syndicated show in which you had this opinion this weekend, Del, that Alabama would be the number one overall team. I think it's a mistake. I think that Michigan should be. And I think that, just because it's a TV show, I don't care if we have aren't the odds best that we are going to have another SEC championship game, right? The odds say it's more than likely going to be Georgia and Alabama. Why not just do it in the semifinal and give Michigan their due by being the number one overall team?
Because I don't think they believe Michigan's number one. They only dropped Alabama to three because they had to, because they looked kind of shaky. If I think they still are under the impression, and I think this plays out this way because of what they did to Georgia, that Alabama's better than Michigan. So they've always leaned on, we pick the four best teams. Sure, they have to take resume into account and metrics, whatever they use, but it's about the four best teams. And I still think even going into this weekend, they thought Alabama was better. They just needed a reason to throw them over Michigan, and they got that with their resounding win over Georgia.
When, with your human eyes and what you saw of Alabama against Florida and LSU and Auburn, do you believe that?
I believe Alabama at their best would run Michigan off the field. Now, that doesn't mean Alabama would play at their best. Maybe yeah. Michigan and their ability to muck things up and run the football and be physical would change things. But the ceiling for both, Alabama is higher. And I would take Alabama on a neutral field 8 out of 10 times. So I guess long way of saying it, yes, I do believe Alabama's better.
I think Alabama's front, I think they can run. I think they can play with anybody. I mean, I think Michigan's fronts, I think they can play with anybody. You know, I do. I think that their front, and this is what we were saying about Georgia, and Alabama whooped that ass. But I do believe that Michigan can play with people because of their abilities up front.
I don't disagree. It just comes down to when it's Bryce Young time, how many times can you get stops on him? And are you going to be explosive enough to make enough plays to stay in it? Because at some point, there's a breaking point where you realize your game plan isn't going to keep you in the game and you have to get out of it. So is their defensive front good enough to keep them in a game where it could be 24-21 against Alabama? Or will they have to score in the 30s against Alabama and match Bryce Young score for score? And that's why we talked about it on Friday before we knew what they were going to do to Georgia, that this might be the most accomplished quarterback quartet in playoff history. Well, now you have the clear Heisman winner in the playoff as the number one seed, and that gives Alabama the advantage over everyone.
Dell, when you look at the four teams that got in, obviously it was pretty easy for the committee to decide which four to put in based on the results from over the weekend. But had Oklahoma State actually beaten Baylor, do you think they would have leapfrogged Cincinnati and been the fourth team that got in?
I think it would have been difficult considering how the game played out, where they were down big and they had to fight back and Spencer Sanders throwing four picks. I think in a different scenario where they run Baylor off the field, I think they get in over Cincinnati. We know what they think of the AAC, despite Houston being a good football team and Cincinnati now clearly being a playoff team. If that game was a runaway victory for Oklahoma State, we're having a discussion about why Cincinnati didn't make it in.
Del Olole with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How it all play? What are the most interesting games you threw? What are the most interesting bowls? Because let's face it, I think Georgia Michigan is going to be a good game. We'll see. I'm not sure about Cincinnati. What other games? I think there's some good matchups.
I like the Rose Bowl, partly because of where I grew up. Utah's never been in it, so I'm interested in that. I'm also interested to see what Ohio State brings to the table, partly because there's some thought that they're going to opt out because they're not playing for a title. Now, with Ohio State, a Big Ten school, have players opting out of the Rose Bowl, which is obviously the traditional goal for all the Big Ten schools. I'm interested to see what Utah brings because we know they're the best in the Pac-12. And we know when they saw the alleged best team in the Pac-12, they dominated them in Oregon, who may lose their coach if he ever gets off the pot. But that kind of is out there for me to pay attention to. Other than that, I mean, the Michigan State-Pittsburgh game, I don't really care about. Notre Dame against Oklahoma State, I don't care to watch Spencer Sanders play quarterback anymore.
That's ugly.
I really don't. I don't think anyone else does either. Baylor versus Ole Miss.
That's a nice game.
I like to see that one. I'm interested in that one. Baylor making a Sugar Bowl to play Ole Miss. They were there a couple of years ago and they lost to Georgia. They get to see another SEC team. It's a battle of two coaches. One has already signed an extension. Depending on what happens at other places, maybe Dave Aranda eventually signs his. That's allegedly on the table. Or he may be, who knows? Who knows what happens if Mario Cristobal turns down Miami? Just does Miami come calling for Dave Aranda? So, but that one I am interested in. But really, I feel bad for Okie State fans. Mike Gundy, you are one quarterback away from playing, probably playing in the playoff, finally making it, beating Oklahoma, But you had to deal with Spencer Sanders one more time.
Spencer Sanders helped them all year long. He sucked on Saturday. There's no question. But that was embarrassing. What about the Cougs in Auburn?
That should be fun for the Cougs. I think Auburn feels like a team who, at 6-6, probably won't want to be in the game. And that's not to say the Cougs wouldn't beat them anyway. I think they probably would. But I think it's a nice matchup, because we talked about this on the 2D. That's another show I do on Sports Night Radio on Saturdays, about what happens to the second-place team, the AAC. Who do you get to play? And is it something you really want to watch? Auburn's an SEC name. Now, they're not having a great year, but putting that on your resume that you beat Auburn, which has been an SEC power, would be nice, despite the record. Question will be if Brian Harsin's even there to coach, so that's up for debate. But I like the Cougs in that one.
Dell, what's up with these games, the playoff games, being played on New Year's Eve again? Wasn't there a whole thing a couple of years ago how the ratings took a nosedive and they played the games on New Year's Eve as a bigger reason as to why?
I can't explain the decision other than that's just how it fell. They've offered an explanation that doesn't suit anyone. I don't remember what it has been, but it's the last time, at least the last time we talked about this particular thing, the games didn't rate. Partly because the semifinals generally suck. I mean, that's the biggest issue with the CFP, that going into last year, the average margin of victory in the semifinals was 20 points. So they haven't been able to produce good football games. So I don't care if it's December 31st or January 1st. Semifinals have to get better. And we have to hope and pray that they are this year, because they've been awful. And sometimes they've led to awful title games. Sometimes we've got thrillers when it comes to Bama and Clemson. But I think the CFP's biggest problem is the matchups haven't been good.
Yeah, no, that is part of the reason. But it's all about the Rose Bowl, because they're biz notches. They won't move their game at all. So
that's true.
Yeah, it's just when the Rose Bowl isn't hosting, then they're just a bunch of biz notches. That's all. And they continue to be that way. How about, you mentioned Auburn not wanting to be there. What about Florida playing UCF? And I would imagine the players want to play for Billy Napier and show him, because he's going to be, you know, evaluating guys. But can you, if you're Florida and you're playing UCF in a bowl game, how badly do you feel about yourself?
Well, being a fan of a team who's fired coaches the new coach may be watching while they're playing, trust me, the whole play for the other guy doesn't mean a damn thing, at least in Miami's case. That has never mattered. They usually get their ass kicked. Well, they don't win bowl games, so they always get their butt beat. I think if you're Florida, you don't want to be there. Sure, you get the tie-ins of maybe you knew some of these kids, you played against them, whatever, all the stuff they always say during these type of games. But really, the gist of it is, a lot of these Florida kids don't think they should be on the field with UCF. Because, you know, they're at Florida and UCF's at UCF, and maybe that'll change when UCF's in the Big 12. So I think it could get ugly for Florida really quickly. You're probably going to have a very motivated UCF team. They don't get these type of matchups against the powers in Florida, the Big 3 in Florida. They rarely play them. I think they're going to love the opportunity, and I think there's a chance they embarrass Florida. If Florida puts forth the effort, we think they might.
What about Leach playing against Tech, a school he sued? How badly is he going to want to stick it to Tech in this one?
Well, is that Mike Leach's personality? We assume he would be vindictive, but would he be more excited talking about Halloween candy or some offshoot that the reporter asked him after the game? I don't know. He may be a guy that goes, oh, yeah, I did coach there. Let's see what happens. I think he should have a good time in that game. Mississippi State, despite not having a great record, has played pretty well this year. They had their remarkable comeback against Auburn. The Egg Bowl, I mean, that kind of went back and forth a little bit. They missed some opportunities. I like them in that game. It's just a question of motivation. You think they would be. I mean, this is kind of the bowl games that Mississippi State goes to. I don't know why playing Texas Tech would feel like a downer for them. I think Mike Leach, if he was vindictive, he would have the opportunity to take advantage and beat down Tech. I just don't know if he would care. He might just say, okay, let's go out there and see if we can win a game.
No, I think he will. I think he will. I think I'm going to grab that before that goes. that goes before that goes up. What's that, Aaron? Manny Diaz officially fired. Del, what did you think? Tell me your favorite moment in the Manny Diaz era.
Let's see. It could have been losing to that terrible Florida State team this year. Never beating Mac Brown. Mac Brown pretty much got him fired twice. He just delayed the inevitable with that winning streak. But to be serious, I would go back to when he was the coordinator, because we had to deal with Al Golden and Mark D'Onofrio's defense. You know the Mark D'Onofrio that Major Applewhite hired to be his DC after failing miserably at Miami. That was a great decision. He brought some pride back into the Miami defense. From 16 to 18, they were one of the best defenses in the country. And then when he took over, he gave the job to one of his underlings. It didn't go very well. But and then obviously this year when he was a DC himself, it didn't go well. But I would say that Miami was known for their defense. Despite all the stars on offense, Miami fans look at a defense that's been aggressive, that wants to cause havoc. He brought that back for a while, so I'll credit him for that. But you know, the head coaching stuff went awry pretty quickly.
That's Del Olale. Respect My Decision podcast and the Two Deep on Saturdays, right?
Correct. That's up for debate right now because college football season's over. But we did have a good year, myself and Fred Davis. But yes, the show called the Three Freds, Fred Nation, is today at noon. Noon to three, myself, Fred Davis, and Fred Fowler.
How is that going? Heads up against Joel. You guys can't like that.
Who's Joel?
That's Del Olale right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We appreciate it.
Thank you. No problem.
There's Del Olale right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we get back, is better.com really better? You'll have to decide that yourself on News of the Weird. That'll happen when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And right now, though, I'm talking about Absolute Marble and Granite and Jeff Aronoff, and I've told you plenty of times about what Jeff does. Jeff is going to come to your home. You have a job, a huge job, a big job. It's got to be a job where you're renovating the entire kitchen, or you are renovating the entire den or bathrooms, or the outdoor, you know, you need new to put in the tile and the counters and the all of the brick on your outdoor kitchen, which can be beautiful. And as I mentioned many a time, Jeff did our outdoor kitchen and it turned out just great, and it really helped us sell our home. And here's something that if you don't update, that if your home is 10, 15, 20 years old and you haven't done anything to it, well, guess what's going to happen? The value of your home isn't going up. You need to upgrade. And that's what Jeff Aronoff does. And he does all the work. He's the contractor. He's not going to subcontract it out. He's going to get all that job done. All at 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have you ever had to work with the unemployment? Have you ever had to collect unemployment? Or
I have, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Well, not in England, though, have you?
Not in England, no. Only in the United States.
There's a department in England. And I know it's England because they spell it Job Center Plus, C-E-N-T-R-E. So it has to be London. Because who spells center that way?
Well, do Canadians spell it that way, too?
Do like they? Sports Those center? People? Same thing if you're English or Canadian. I don't think that's about the same thing. But apparently there is someone, David Scott, during an appointment in September with a man, he threatened to stick pins in his eyes or at least poke them with a biro. I don't know what that. And then said she had doled out similar treatment to other autistic children. It appears the person was autistic. Is this a way that if you work for the Department of Work and Pensions that you should handle someone who's autistic? Stick pins in their eyes?
Probably not the best way to go about it, I would say.
Well, that's what happens. You know what? Apparently, you're not going to work for them ever because you don't feel like that's a good way to go about it. Bomb squad had to be called in Gloucester, England. Apparently, a World War II motor was stuck in a man's rectum.
That hasn't happened to you?
I've never, ever had that incident, and that's never, ever happened to me. Usually, though, you would just, if something gets, and then we see a lot of these stories, you go to the emergency room and the doctors will tell you. It's odd, though, when the bomb squad has to be called in for the rectum bomb.
That's usually my typical Tuesday.
Right. Well, I mean, I've dropped a lot of bombs in a bathroom before, but never a World War II mortar, that's for sure.
There's a first for everything.
Do you think Better.com is better?
I've never been to Better.com.
Well, Better.com apparently is a mortgage company. And here is how Vishal Garg started his Zoom meeting with more than 900 employees. If you're on this call, you are part of the unlucky group that's being laid off. Your employment is terminated effective immediately. Do you think those people think that Better.com is better?
They're probably a little underwhelmed with the name not living up to how they've been treated.
Yeah. It doesn't appear to me that Better.com is better. When you start out a conversation with your employees that you'll be contacted by HR in no time.
What is that, an oxymoron, I believe? Yeah. My English is not great, even though I get paid to talk for 4 hours a day, John, but I think that's an oxymoron, if I have that correct.
Speaking of which, did you know that there is an anti-cancel culture event?
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like you and Lance should be at the forefront of this.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not big on cancel culture.
Me neither.
Unfortunately, it's been canceled.
So you're telling me they canceled the cancel culture event?
Event. That's right.
Okay.
Which doesn't seem like it would be the way you should go about it, right? It's anti-cancel.
Well, isn't it two negatives make a positive?
Right.
So is the event actually still on?
That's not it. The event is off. Yeah. Apparently, a Josephine County man stopped by jail early yesterday to see if he was wanted by law enforcement. Turns out he was, and he actually just got himself arrested. He actually just thought, let me just go see if there is a warrant out for my arrest. Sure enough.
If you want information, you just go to the source.
That's right. And guess what happened? Got arrested. San Francisco is suspending their cannabis tax. You know why?
I don't know why, no.
Because dispensaries are having a hard time competing with drug dealers.
Well, I mean, supply and demand, right? You can't charge excess amounts if no one's buying it.
Actually, I invested in some weed in California. And one of the killers of that investment is the taxation in California on weed. It's ridiculous.
So are you a big drug dealer purchase guy, or you like to go?
I got out of it. I actually made some and got out of it. But it's a rough business. And in large part because drug dealers don't have to pay taxes. So I think this is a nice move for the dispensaries, in that maybe even the playing field a little bit.
Look, the drug dealers have been doing this for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, they're well experienced. Like, they have a good grasp on what the market should be for their product.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco's got to learn to adapt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently they are. They are adapting. A woman apparently dialed the wrong number for 20 years. And she built a relationship with the person that she'd been calling the wrong number, and they finally met. Do you feel good about that?
Well, what was the context of her calling the wrong number so many
times? She was trying to call her sister in Maryland, but she kept dialing a 401 area code instead of 410. She did this for 20 years. Now, my thought is, she's not a brain surgeon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That you would think that at some point during those 20 years, she might be able to get 410 instead of 401 right.
Maybe she just wanted a friend, and she found a new friend.
No, I don't know. But do you think you'd get annoyed being the wrong number, recipient of a wrong number call for, 20 years?
I get annoyed if I get, the incorrect text message from someone.
Well, how about, or all the solicitors? That angers me.
Yeah, that is. It's not what you want.
No, it's not. It's not even close. Well, Jake, we appreciate you being here today, and you're going to stay. Not only are you going to do the afternoon show, but you're actually going to start Patrick Creighton's show today.
Yes. Yeah, so think about this for a moment. Patrick's filling in for Charlie.
Right.
Patrick's running late. So I'm filling in for Patrick, who's filling in for Charlie.
Correct.
So we have like Gal Media, ESPN Houston, like radio inception going on.
Right. It is the 20 degrees of Jake Asman right here.
Basically, you know, the winter of Lance, the summer of Charlie, early December of Creighton. It's all giving me more airtime, Jake.
That's right. Well, and you don't mind that at all.
I'm happy to help.
That's it. Well, that's Jake Asman, and he'll be with you next. Surprisingly, they didn't ask me to stay.
You're more than welcome to join me.
You get into the golf course, I get it. All right, I'm done. We'll talk again tomorrow. And Lance might actually be here. We'll find out tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Tell them the truth, but they think it's just made up.
Bye, bitch.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.